RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, halfway home on the John Chuckery Show. Live in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Well, it's the worm turned very quickly for Spencer Strider. So he only got one out in the sixth inning and then gave up two home runs. And look, 6 1/3, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, good start. Could have been more, but now he's been knocked out of the game. And we're going to see the debut of Johnson here, the pitcher that they just picked up from the Colorado Rockies. But 10 strikeouts and a walk, but the two home runs. Day-Day, here's an interesting stat for Spencer Strider. As of right now, he's pitched 127 innings. So with the 6 1/3 that he pitched tonight, he's – no, sorry, 123 innings. He's pitched 123 innings now, okay? So last year, he pitched 131 and two-thirds innings. Now, I know part of that was relief, right? Okay, made 20 starts out of his 31 games. So 131 and two-thirds innings last year. He only gave up 7 homers last year in 131 and two-thirds innings, okay? 123 innings pitched this year. So that's 6 1/3. Brought him up to 123 innings. He's given up 18 homers this year. 18 homers this season. And a lot of that has come over about the last 8 or 10 starts or whatever like that.
Right.
Again, 2 home runs he gave up tonight. You know, he wasn't giving up the home run ball earlier in the year, and he's given up a pretty good amount of home runs now. That's a pretty good amount of home runs in 123 innings. If you're giving up 18 homers.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, because it's like his strikeouts are clearly way up, but then well, so are the home runs,
well,
right?
So, huh. Well, okay. So let's travel back in time to in March, okay? Mm-hmm. And I remember this specifically because I was in here by myself hosting the Chuck House. And we were doing on a Friday a buy or sell, right? Okay. As Shappy does on Fridays, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had Mike Connie and I had Matt Stewart. You know who Matt Stewart is?
Yeah.
Longtime broadcaster.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's been on 11 Live and
yep.
You know, again. So I had them on and I asked them this specific question. Do you think Strider breaks John Smoltz's modern day record of 276 strikeouts this season? Now they said, well, maybe in the future. I said, no, this year.
Right.
I think he does it this year. Now, Smoltz has the record in 1996, the 20th century and beyond, Mark. Okay.
Right.
There are guys in the 19th century that had more strikeouts than John Smoltz. But again, just like the runs scored total, mm-hmm. we're not counting those.
Right.
I'm not counting what the Boston Bean Eaters did in 1883. Okay?
Right.
We're talking modern day, 20th century and beyond. Smoltz has the record with 276 strikeouts in 1996.
Right.
Okay? And I asked if Strider could beat that. Well, so far, so good. So the 10 strikeouts tonight now put Strider at 199 on the season in 123 innings pitched. Now, tonight was start number 21 mm-hmm. for Spencer Strider, okay? So if you figure that the Braves have, this is game number 100 for the Braves tonight, right? I mean, this is, so the Braves are 64 and 35.
Mm-hmm.
So with tonight's, again, if let's just say they win tonight, this will be game number 100. So with 62 games left, you expect him to get maybe 10 to 12 starts.
Right.
And that's if they pitch him all the way through where, again, if they clinch the division early or what have you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you maybe start to slow him down a little bit, make sure he's healthy, and you can set your rotation up. But
right.
let's say 10 starts.
Right.
Because that's realistic. I mean, that's, you know, probably 12 starts with 60 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once every 5 days, right? So probably 12 starts, but let's just say 10. Well, he's averaging almost 9.5 strikeouts per start. Not the per nine innings, okay?
Right.
Which he leads Major League Baseball at 14.6 strikeouts per nine innings, which is even higher than what he did last year at 13.8. But he's not only going to blow away the record, because at this pace, he would be at 292, 293.
Right.
But he's got an outside shot at 300. And that's rarefied air. I mean, now we're talking rarefied air. And I'll say this. If he does find a way to win this tonight, he'll lead the league in two of the three Triple Crown categories. He'll lead the league in wins. He's tied for the league lead right now. This would be his 12th win that'll lead the league. And he's obviously tied, you know, or he's got the league lead in strikeouts. So when you look, why would Spencer Strider not be the Cy Young favorite right now? Why would he not be the favorite to win the Cy Young? And we talked about the strikeout record. I called that back in March. And I remember, Day-Day, I can, as brain dead as I am, I remember the show that it was Mike Connie and we had Matt Stewart on for Buy or Sell. And hosting the Chuck House, and I asked and talked about this specifically on the show, that I thought he was going to break the record this season. And they thought, well, you know, it may happen at some point. No, he's going to break it this year. And now we're potentially looking at a 300 strikeout season. And let's hope that they don't score another run, because, again, that run would be toward the guy that's on base right now on third is Strider's runner. Like
right.
If he scores, that would be the third run, and he won't get a decision in this game, because it'll be tied at that point, and it'll be the top of the inning. So, again, I don't know why Spencer Strider would not be considered the favorite for the Cy Young. He has his ERA a little bit high. Yeah, I mean, again, his ERA right now is 3.73. So his ERA is a little bit lower than it was going into the game at 3.78. But that's maybe a little bit high of an ERA, but he's the most dominant pitcher going right now. And, yeah, again, he gives up sometimes too many hits. Sometimes he gives up too many home runs. I think that's the big bugaboo, is that, you know, here, oh, boy, and yeah, that's going to get out of here. And, yeah,
well,
that's,
off the wall, yeah.
Oh, boy, that's, Justin
it's
Turner.
Tied up.
Yeah, former
oh, no,
Braves killer Justin Turner, you know, formerly of the Dodgers. Yeah. So now the Red Sox have the lead. So, yep.
And
so,
there's Strider.
Yeah. But that good. But that second run, the actually Johnson is responsible for the other base runner. So the run that leads right now is Johnson's responsibility. Strider only had the one guy on base. Johnson would be the one that loses this game as of right now.
But to your point, when we were talking earlier, a few breaks back, segments back, he gives up the home run at the wrong.
I mean, it's
timing of the giving up the home
runs.
Right,
and it's too many home runs. I mean, again, in today's modern-day baseball, you can't give up that many home runs. You just can't. And if he pitches close to 200 innings, you know, he's going to be on pace for almost 30 homers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot to give up in a season for a guy that, you know, if he pitches, you know, almost 200 innings, 25, 30 homers, that's a lot in a season. That would be a lot in the old days, a tremendous a lot. But still, he's still the most dominant pitcher in the National League. And I think right now he's the front runner for the Cy Young. He leads in two of the three categories for the Triple Crown of pitching. He's been dominant. Yes, he does. You know, we look at it as he gives up too many home runs, but still. And his final line is 6 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 10 strikeouts, a walk, but the 2 home runs that he gave up. And the Red Sox, by the way, have hit 2 homers and almost hit a third one with Turner's at bat there. But again, he's been dominant this year, and we called this back in March that I thought he was going to break the strikeout record this year. I had no reason to think that he wouldn't be in that Smoltz kind of territory. What I was concerned about was the number of innings that he would pitch. Because, again, if he was only going to be a 5 or 6 inning pitcher, you know, I didn't know if he could get to enough strikeouts based on his number of innings. But when he's striking out almost 9.5 guys per start that he makes, that's ridiculous. I mean, that takes into effect of whether or not he pitches 7, 8, 9 innings or he pitches 2 innings. When you're averaging 9.5 strikeouts per start, that's a staggering kind of figure. And that's, you know, that's like Doc Gooden, Roger Clemens type of numbers, you know, from the old days. You know, and there haven't been that many. I don't even know when the last time a pitcher had 300 strikeouts in the National League. I know Chris Sale has done it a couple of times in the American League, but I don't remember the last time a pitcher had 300 strikeouts in the National League. But again, that's a dominant total, and it just shows you, you know, again, it wasn't that many years ago he's pitching at Clemson University. The fact that he has caught on this quickly, and look, as he gets older, as he gets, you know, more refined, you know, those kinds of things will, even as he loses velocity. And that's where, again, you know, years from now, when you talk about developing that, you know, that next pitch, you know, that's where that maybe comes into play. But for right now, he's just the ultimate rare back and fire kind of guy. He's just the ultimate rare back and, you know, see if you can hit this or not. Now, unfortunately, some players have caught up to it maybe too often. And, you know, it is interesting that he's, you know, by and large, more than, well, he's tripled his home run total that he gave up last year and hasn't pitched as many innings. Maybe he feels a little bit too confident in what his stuff is. Maybe he doesn't, at times, maybe he doesn't pitch enough, right? Maybe he just rears back and fires and says, okay, see if you can hit this. Again, as he gets older, and he develops, you know, being able to pitch, that philosophy may change, whatever like that. But he's been terrific this year, and I don't see a reason why he's not the favorite right now to win the Cy Young. Look at his career right now. 23-8 in 250 innings with 391 strikeouts. That was going into tonight. That was going into tonight's action. Now it's 257. And he's got, 401 strikeouts in 257 innings pitched, 257, 401 strikeouts. That's a ridiculous total. That's Nolan Ryan, J.R. Richard in their prime. That's Clemens in his prime. That's Randy Johnson in his prime. Like, that's prime time numbers. Those guys weren't doing that in their basically third, you know, season in big league baseball, but it's really his second full season in big league baseball because, again, he only had two games that he pitched in his rookie year. Went 1-0 in two games, and he only pitched two in the third innings. So hard to kind of count that, you know, his for considering a rookie season, but he did pitch a couple of games.
Yeah, speaking of Randy Johnson, I believe he was the last National League.
Yeah, for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
National, as far as National League goes.
Yeah, but what year? Because I know he did in 2001. Okay, so 2001 is when they won the World Series. He's a 300 strikeout pitcher then, I believe. So 2002.
Yeah, and he did it five times, I believe.
Yeah, well, he did it in both leagues too, I think, right? Yeah. And also, too, did he not in go back 1 year?
Yeah, he did it 93, 98, 99, 01.
Okay, look at
2000, 01, and 02.
Okay, look at 2001. Look at that team. Didn't Schilling also have about 280 strikeouts or almost 300 strikeouts in 2001 for the Arizona Diamondbacks? Because that was the year that they won the World Series, and they had those two guys that just blew through the Braves, blew through everybody. Those guys had
Schilling,
guys.
Yep, they had Schilling.
Yeah. Well, but how many strikeouts did Schilling have?
That year, let's see.
Yeah, I'll pull it up for you. Let's see. Kurt Schilling in 2001 had 293 strikeouts.
Right there.
He led the league in innings, he led the league in wins, and he had 293 strikeouts. How about that combination?
That's crazy.
They won 11 playoff games in 01 in winning the World Series, okay? They won 11 playoff games. Mm-hmm. Schilling and Johnson had 9 wins and a save in their 11 wins in the playoffs. 9 wins and a save in 11 wins for the Diamondbacks. Crazy talk. But those two guys were as dominant as I've ever seen. All right. Back, it'll be time for that. We lost I don't want to say legend, but certainly a very controversial singer today as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com app.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio 92.9, back at it, Chuckery Show, 922 in the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. All right, Day-Day. So we lost Sinead O'Connor today.
Yeah,
and
saw that.
she was only 56 years old. Now,
yeah.
I did not see. I'm reading the article right now to see if what the cause of death was.
I don't think they had one. Well, when I saw the notification, I want to say early afternoon, mm-hmm. and at that point, it was just, you know, family was asking for privacy. Nothing about, you know, where she was found. Anything, nothing like that.
So, you know, this is the sort of the timeline, if you will, but she has had mental illness issues. Her teenage son committed suicide last year.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
And she had talked about the idea of that she did not want to go on living without him. Mm. She was hospitalized not too long after that. So I don't know at the end of the day if this was a suicide or what have you, but it is sad. I mean, 56 years old.
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hell, I'm 5 years younger than
you. Yeah, I was about to say, I'm 6 years behind her.
Yeah. So, obviously one of the more controversial artists of the last 20, 25 years, right? I mean, you know, she burned bridges everywhere, right? I mean, obviously ripping up the Pope's picture on Saturday Night Live. All of her political stances, mm-hmm. you know, she badmouthed Prince because, again, he wrote Nothing Compares to You. Mm-hmm. She badmouthed him. You know, she said that when she met, and I think Prince was already dead at this point, that she badmouthed Prince after he died about that when she met him, he treated her poorly and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, again, it was, I think, after he had died already. So very controversial. You know, good singer. She had, obviously, Nothing Compares to You was a massive hit. Like, it was a massive number one hit. Never really had songs that rose to that level. She had a couple of good songs, you know, but that's really the only song that she's really known for. But very controversial artist. And did you see that they had a documentary about her on, I think it was Showtime. Hmm. They did a documentary about her.
I did not know.
Pretty interesting. Okay. I watched the whole thing. Yeah, very, very interesting. I like those music biopics and stuff
right.
like that. And it was pretty interesting. So RIP to one of the more controversial figures in music, Sinead O'Connor. So there is Day-Day about to be a big auction. Now, I don't know how to convert pounds mm-hmm. into dollars. So pull this up. I know it'll take you an hour, but pull this up while we look at this. How many pounds are in a dollar, okay? Do a conversion chart. But there is a huge auction that is coming of Star Wars props. Okay? There's an original 1977 Episode 4 A New Hope Stormtrooper helmet.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be available. Okay?
Okay.
And then also it was used again in The Empire Strikes Back a few years later. They say that it's going to probably sell for somewhere in the 385,000 pound range.
385,000 pounds.
Yeah. So how many pounds in a dollar?
Well, 1 pound right now equates to $1.29.
Okay. So basically, this will be this will be somewhere in the $400,000 range. Yeah, a good $400,000. There's also two Ewok masks that are available. So two original Ewok masks that are available. The you remember in The Empire Strikes Back, the snow, like the
snow speeders?
Yeah, the snow speeders in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a miniature model that's going to sell for 60,000 pounds, it looks like.
Oh, wow.
So that's what, $75,000?
Yeah. Yep.
All kinds of crazy stuff. This is from a collector, I guess, that has been a collector for a lot of years. And let's see, the items are being sold in Dallas, Texas by John Azarian, a well-known collector of film and TV props and stuff like that. So,
man.
Yeah.
Man.
How about almost $400,000 for a stormtrooper helmet? That's crazy. Crazy
stuff.
Yeah,
people will pay for it,
though. Oh, yeah, yeah. Today is National Bagel Fest Day. Are you a bagel eater?
Time to time. It's not a natural craving.
I love bagels.
They're good.
Yeah, I love. Yeah. Again, Einstein's over here. I go to Dunkin' Donuts. I love bagels. That's one of my favorite breakfast things to get. So, all right, we have a really good list of birthdays today.
Yeah.
Blake Edwards, famous director, Pink Panther movie series. Stanley Kubrick, very strange guy. The Shining,
yep.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
That movie, Eyes Wide Shut, was his last movie.
That was the one with Tom Cruise, right?
Yep, and Nicole Kidman. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mick Jagger's birthday is today. I say that Mick Jagger is the best frontman in music history. Would you dispute that?
No. I'd definitely say he's top five. I mean, I'm sure people will have their list, but you can't not have him in the top five for sure.
Oh, yeah. Top five. That if you put him fifth, we wouldn't be friends anymore. Okay? Wouldn't be friends anymore. Oscar winner Helen Mirren from The Queen. You see her in Red. She's the old woman in Red.
Oh,
that movie with Bruce Willis.
And
John Malkovich.
She was the female.
Yes, yes,
right. Yeah.
Yes, the female assassin.
Yeah.
She's married to Taylor Hackford, who was the director of Ray.
Oh, wow.
He directed that movie. Roger Taylor, the drummer from Queen, the original drummer from Queen. I remember this. Dorothy Hamill, 1976 gold medal in Montreal in the Olympics in figure skating. Tommy Wildfire Rich. You remember Tommy Wildfire Rich?
No.
He was the NWA heavyweight champion for like 2 weeks. 2 weeks. He made his name on Georgia Championship Wrestling.
If I saw him, I'd probably recognize his
face. Yeah, he was big here in the Georgia territory. Tommy Wildfire Rich. Beautiful. I mean, you know, good looking guy, blonde hair, baby face. But he was literally the NWA champion for like 2 weeks.
Wow, okay.
Kevin Spacey, who, think about how successful Kevin Spacey was. And he can't get a gig to save his life now because of all the controversy.
All that controversy.
Yeah, that's around him.
Did I read somewhere last week where a case against him was like either...
Yes, I saw some story about him that...
it was like dropped or dismissed or something?
Something, yeah. So, one of the cases that was against him, I think was just like last week dropped or something like that.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock's birthday is today. Jeremy Piven from... what was that show called?
Entourage. He was also in. Did you see Smoking Aces, the movie?
Did you see Rush Hour 2? He's the guy. He's the guy in Rush Hour 2 that gets them set up with their clothes and all that stuff. Kate Beckinsale's birthday.
I like her.
Yeah,
I like
she's
her.
She's been in some of those.
She was in the Underworld.
Yeah,
movies.
Like what? She's the vampire.
Yeah,
vampirist.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
I actually liked those series. They kind of fell off after they got to the fourth one.
Well, I liked her in Van Helsing. I mean, the original.
She was
one,
good in Van Helsing with her and Hugh Jackman.
Yep,
yes.
Yep.
And then she was also in a movie with. It was more of a thriller kind of where, her and her lover or husband, they were in a cabin, and some people tried to rob them or something. It was a pretty good movie, actually. I can't remember the name of it.
Yes, they terrorized them.
Yeah, they terrorized them.
They had the mask. They weren't robbing them. They were just creepy. They were just killers. She was also in that movie with Adam Sandler about the remote control.
Oh, yes. That's what it was called. Wasn't it called remote or control?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Where he just kept,
Yeah, he kept changing everything around with the remote control. So, all right. So, tonight's top 10 movie. We may save this for another top 10 because I was thinking of one of two things, okay?
Okay.
So, my other choice was going to be your top 10 favorite breakfast or brunch places in
That's
Atlanta.
A good one. That's
so,
we'll save that one.
For another time. But tonight's top 10 list, your top 10 favorite Jason Statham movies. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right. So, up first, I got Cellular, kind of similar to the movie with that we were just talking about with Kate Beckinsale. The Mechanic. Thought The Mechanic was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it's a remake, and that's that wasn't a bad remake.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so he plays the Charles Bronson character in that. So I like the ending of that that movie. I had that on my list as well.
The first Expendables. I know he was in the second one. I honestly didn't watch the second one. The first one I thought was pretty good. I thought it was clever.
I thought the well, we'll talk about that.
You like the second one better?
I like the second one better. Yeah.
I do not like any of the Fast and Furious series,
but I
did dig Hobbs and Shaw a little bit. I thought that because it was just them two. It wasn't the whole ensemble
of
everybody
else. Is that the one where they fight Roman Reigns, or Roman Reigns is fighting with them?
Hobbs and Shaw. Yes. Yes.
They're going, Roman Reigns.
They have to go back to The Rock's character's homeland to get and
Roman
and actually
Reigns.
It's Roman and the Usos are in there too.
Yes, so. A lot of the family is because again they're all related.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that one was decent for me because again it wasn't, you know, and it still had some over the top stunts and all that, but it wasn't that whole ensemble and everything. The one with Jet Li, he actually had another one that's on my list too.
Oh yeah. I remember that movie. Okay.
Yeah. That one was good. The other one with Jet Li was called War. That was another one that was good.
I did not see that one.
Did you see Crank?
I love Crank.
Crank was
now,
good, right?
Let me tell you. Crank is on. So we went and saw that at a movie theater.
Okay.
And I thought, this is going to be the most ridiculous
thing. Right,
right. Crank is a good
flick. Yeah, it
like,
really
that's
is.
That's a fun flick.
Yeah, I mean, and just think about it. What if you were in that situation where you had to do that just to, you know
well,
what I'm saying?
Again, like, the doctor that tries to save him is Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah.
That's the doctor that tries to save him. But that was, it's filmed in a crazy, like the visual of it is really crazy because it's just all over the place.
Yep.
But I had, because I was going to mention, I think Crank is his most underrated movie.
Yeah.
I think Crank is a good flick.
It was. And then my top two, Transporter, my number one, Snatch. I love Snatch with him, Brad Pitt. That movie is just.
That, so my guy, Dennis Farina, is in Snatch.
Yes.
And again, he's one of my favorite actors of all time. I love Snatch.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Snatch. I, instead of some of the Jet Li movies, I also had, it wasn't all that great, but for what it was, Death Race.
Okay.
That's a remake as well.
Yeah.
He was, again, it's kind of a ridiculous movie. But I love the Expendables. Mm-hmm. I love the second Expendables
even more. Okay.
I love the second, with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger fighting in the movie, and Chuck Norris.
Yep.
Like, it's old-timers day at the movie theater. I mean, that was fantastic. The third one wasn't so good. This one, there's another Expendables coming up.
Yeah.
Now, neither one of us had the Meg on there because that's the movie that's coming out here in what, a couple of weeks or whatever
second
like that.
Meg, yeah. My 10-year-old loves that movie.
I mean, does it not look like the first Meg is ridiculous as it is.
Right,
this one even looks like it's more amped up. Like it looks video game-ish.
Yep.
Looks like a video game.
Yep.
Parker, I didn't think was a very good movie. That's a remake, I believe, as well on there. And I think he's going to be in this next Expendables movie, right?
I mean,
he's going to be in that movie as well. And then the other movie he was in, you know, he had a little bit part in Collateral.
He did.
As well.
He did. It was a very small role.
Yes. But Collateral is a great
movie. I didn't put Collateral just because the role was small.
Yeah.
But that was a great movie.
And then the other one that I really like, I liked The Italian Job.
Job was good. That was Mark Wahlberg, right?
That's a remake as well.
Yes,
Michael Caine was in the original.
Yes.
Was in the original Italian Job. That's a remake as well. But The Italian Job, for what it was a pretty good movie. I didn't like the other Transporter movies, but I loved the first one.
Yeah, the first one
loved,
was great.
Loved the first one. I didn't like the second one. I think there was a third one as well. Didn't like the second or third one, but I loved the first Transporter movie.
The first one was great.
And then again, I had. Now, listen, I didn't see Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
I heard it's good, though. I heard it's good.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie, but he's in that movie.
Yeah, because but he doesn't play the same character. But from what I understand, it's kind of, I don't know if Snatch was the, not necessarily a sequel, but I think some of the characters, or there was something I remember about that.
Yes, I believe that there is some kind of.
There's a connection outside of the fact that it's Guy Ritchie, but there's a character connection in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well, he plays the Turk, right? He plays the Turk
in Snatch. Yeah.
But that was Snatch is a good
Snatch play. Is classic, bro. I will watch Snatch anytime it's on.
Yeah. Again, Brad Pitt's accent is ridiculous. Yeah.
You like Docs?
Yeah. But I Dennis Farina's my guy, man. Like that's my guy all the way. Dennis Farina is my guy.
Yeah, he was great
all the
in
way.
That.
So
those plane when he. Pops on the plane, pops.
Oh, yeah. Midnight Run, he's fantastic in Midnight Run, fantastic in Snatch. I mean, he's terrific in the movies. And he used to be on that, one of my favorite shows back in the old days. What was it? Police Story. He was.
I remember. I don't know if I watched, but I do remember.
That was one of his first
Story.
Roles, his Police Story that he was on.
Because it was
on.
A regular series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. All right. When we get back, Joe Patrick, who was it? Chad Bishop joined us earlier in the show. Talking some tech, talking some ACC Media Days. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, ACC Media Days taking place this week as they will be coming to an end coming up tomorrow. Let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy who covers Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chad Bishop. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop, and he joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
Well, hey, man, thanks for giving me that Master of Puppets intro there at the beginning. That really is a great way to kick off that Wednesday night.
Well, listen, we get you amped up with the music in our bumpers, so we get you going. So, Chad, I want to talk to you before we get into some Georgia Tech talk. Let me talk a little bit about the ACC in just some of the teams that we'll be looking at. Look, I think it's very early or just – again, people are trying to kick dirt on the grave of Clemson right now because they didn't make the playoff for the last couple of years and they lost two of their last three games, even though they did win the ACC when all is said and done. But I think Shipley's one of the more underrated players in college football in America. I still think they're good at quarterback. You know, again, they may not be the Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd type level of quarterback or, you know, again, Trevor Lawrence level of quarterback, but I still think they're pretty good. And their defense is always going to be outstanding. I think it's a little bit premature to be trying to throw dirt on the grave of Clemson that they're just not the organization or the, you know, program that they have been in years past.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that, right, is like you just know that they're just eating that up, you know, over the border in South Carolina, right? That's the bulletin board material. That's the rat poison that Nick Saban would talk about. I mean, Mr. Dabo Swinney is just, you know, whole offseason is saying, look at this, you know, nobody respects us. Nobody's talking about us. I think you're right. I mean, they're still one of the cream of the crops college football programs in the Southeast and in the country. And everybody's really high, right, on Florida State. And, you know, everybody likes North Carolina with Drake May. But, yeah, I mean, Clemson's always going to be right there at the top. And it is funny that narrative that they lose a game or two and it's all of a sudden that Clemson – is done and they're finished and they're not part of this discussion. But I mean, it's still the elite talent. Like you mentioned, the elite defensive talent is still going to be there. And always just an incredibly tough place to play when you go up there at Clemson. So, yeah, you can't write them off yet. And I bet more than anything, they're probably just salivating this offseason. The fact that nobody is talking about them, because it allows them to sort of feed that locker room mentality of the disrespect narrative and go out there and prove each and every week that they're still a major player in this ACC title race.
And Chad, you mentioned Florida State. So I am one of the hosts for our college football show on Saturdays here. And I always try to latch onto a team that I think could be a playoff contender. And last year, unfortunately, it was NC State. Of course, injuries, you know, knocked them out. But, you know, it's been Oklahoma State and different programs like that over the years where I try to, you know, go besides just the kind of natural favorites. I'm buying all in on Florida State this year. I think Mike Norvell has a really good program there coming back with all the talent that he's got, whether it's Jared Verse, whether it's, you know, Sermon, and they're obviously, you know, again, they may have the best quarterback or at least one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I love everything about Florida State. This feels like a little bit of some of the old school Florida State. I don't know if it'll all translate into wins, but it feels like that this is guys coming back, and this feels a little bit like old school Florida State for this program.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, definitely on paper, you know, when we talk, you know, here late July, early August, there's certainly a lot of buzz about that program, a lot of excitement, a lot of talent there. You know, they got a good coach and a good quarterback. And I really like their schedule. The fact that they open up with LSU, you know, win or lose, I mean, that's a great game for them, right? I mean, that's a game that, you know, play close and maybe you do lose it. But we all know that in college football, early losses definitely don't matter as much as late losses. And then you always play Florida at the end of the year. That's probably going to be a good win if you can knock that one off. So, you know, play Miami, Pittsburgh, not a lot of, you know, soft cupcakes on that schedule. Of course, there's a North Alabama on there, but, you know, play Clemson. So there's opportunities there to get some quality wins, impress some people, move up those rankings. So that's number one. And then, like you said, the talent in this, one of those, you know, stars aligned situations, right, where you've built things, you've got a lot of depth on that roster, you've got a coach who's done it. And so, yeah, you know, maybe this is the year. Now, when we talk about Clemson and that sort of disrespect narrative, you got to be a little bit wary if you're Florida State, right? Everybody's saying that you are going to be great and you are going to be in that discussion. So you sort of have to guard against that because you really haven't proven anything quite yet. So it's a matter of going out there and doing it week in and week out. First of all, taking care of business in the ACC and winning that conference title, and then maybe getting in that playoff discussion.
You know, Chad, this is a, you know, it may not be the best quarterback conference in America. I think that belongs to the Pac-12, but this is a really good quarterback conference this year. I mean, with Jordan Travis and, you know, again, Tyler Van Dyke and obviously Drake May. I mean, there are some really good quarterbacks that are in this conference this year, and obviously Tech's going to see plenty of those, you know, quarterbacks, but this is a sneaky good quarterback conference this season for the ACC.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, and I think it's been that way for a couple of years, and maybe, you know, I don't know why, you know, it's really flying under the radar in that regard. I mean, you know, Pitt has put out a really good quarterback or two, and obviously Wake Forest with what they've done, and we talked about Drake May at North Carolina. I mean, there's guys that have signed scholarships at ACC schools and have really risen up the ranks when it comes in terms of the NFL draft board or you know, all American teams or all conference teams. You know, I agree with you. It's really tough. You know, Brent Key talked about it week in and week out. You're going to face a really elite, really good quarterback no matter what school you're playing. That's a challenge that, of course, you know, he said he loves and he relishes, but it's going to be incumbent upon Tech, right, to find a similar talent, right, to take over their football team, whether that's this year or next year moving forward, because all these other programs are signing these guys who are becoming just, you know, world beaters and top 10 draft picks. And that's really where it starts, right? If this Tech program wants to get to that next level, they got to find that game-changing, program-changing quarterback.
So, Chad, you had the quote from Brent Key, where you put on your Twitter page, "My expectations are not defined by wins and losses and production." Now, okay, I understand that from a coaching perspective, but can you sell the Georgia Tech fan base on that? Because, again, it's been multiple years of not so many wins and not in bowl games and things like that. I think folks are really kind of getting antsy for at least some signs of, you know, again, getting to or above 500. I do think that it's coming to the point in this program that we have to see some wins. We have to see some, can't just see growth. We have to actually see some tangible results now.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky, you know, phrase right there from Brent Key. And I think, you know, his take on all this, because he was asked so much about expectations and where he expects his team to be and technically what is year one for him, he's not going to go out there and say, I expect to win 8 games or 9 games. Now, don't get me wrong. He expects to win every game, and he wants his team to expect to win every game and to go into every game expecting to win. But I think more so for him, his expectations reside in the realm of he wants his team to play tough and play hard and play clean. And I know that sounds like cliche and coach speak, right? But I think from his point of view, if he gets his team to do that first and foremost, then the expectations will be raised. Then the win total expectations will be raised over time. As a first-year coach, it's always tough because, outwardly, you're never going to publicly say, well, I expect, you know, to win the conference championship, because then if your team loses 2 games and they're going to go to shell and say, well, we're not going to win the conference championship now, so blah, 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 why do we keep trying? So I think it's tough, right, as that first-year head coach to put out a number or an expectation in concrete when, you know, you're probably not quite sure yourself on what kind of team you're going to have with some of the transfers, or some of the underclassmen, and the recruit, the returners, and you're still trying to build this thing. So it's kind of a tricky narrative to sort of paint. I understand where he's coming from in the sense that he just really expects a team to really form itself in the locker room first and foremost, and then those expectations in terms of win totals will come down the line this year and years in the future.
Chad Bishop, Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Did you get a sense in hearing from Coach Key? I know he talked about, you know, toughness at the quarterback position and things like that, but did you get a sense about, you know, not so much that he came out and said, look, this is going to be our starting quarterback, but do you kind of think Haynes King really is the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse now? Is it his job to lose, or do you think that there really is a quarterback competition at Tech?
I think he wants there to be a quarterback competition. I think he may know, you know, in the back of his mind or maybe in his gut who's going to start that first game, but I don't think he's even going to tell that kid going into fall camp. I think he wants, you know, Zach Pyron and Haynes King to sort of battle it out over the fall and see who takes leadership of the locker room, leadership of the huddle, who can make plays. And then who can go out September 1st and make plays against Louisville. I think he wants a guy who is physically tough in terms of running the football. I think he wants a guy who's mentally tough in terms of maybe overcoming some adversity and bouncing back from an interception. A lot of those things won't play out in fall practice, right? They're going to play out in that first, you know, week against Louisville and a couple weeks later at Ole Miss. I think there really is a quarterback competition. He probably knows deep down who he thinks will start that game. But I think he wants those guys to play it out and see who competes in preseason practice, see who can, make those plays and rally the troops and, you know, all that college football cliche stuff. But he needs to see it. He needs to see who that guy is going to be. And, I've covered college football a while, and just because, you know, one kid may start that opener does not mean that kid becomes a starter, mm-hmm. right, over the course of the season. So does it play out over the course of the year? I would imagine they hope not. I mean, Brent Key, I think he's a one-quarterback guy. He would much rather have that guy come in. But I think he's gonna relish that competition this August and see who can rise to the cream of the crop and take over that offense.
So a couple of the transfers on defense, Braylon Oliver, Andre White from Texas A&M, you know, a couple of pretty good players that came in, you know, to this program. You know, they were a bad team against the run last year. Felt like a couple of years ago that they were really good at creating turnovers. Maybe not so much, you know, this past season. But what do you look at defensively from this team? Obviously, their run defense has got to improve, but can they get after quarterbacks is the other question that I have, obviously with no Keon White now.
No doubt. One of the prospect camps they had, I went out there and had a chance to talk to Andrew Thacker, defensive coordinator, a little bit I talked to him about the transfers, and, you know, just like any coach right now in the country, you're not signing these transfers to be backups or just to be rentals. I mean, you want these guys to come in and perform. You sign them for a reason. So when you bring in these guys experience at the FBS level, or even if they're, you know, high quality players at the FCS level, you want them to come in and perform right away. And is it patchwork? Maybe a little bit in year one for Brent Key. But they're going to have to use these guys all over the field. And to me, it's going to come down to scheme. You know, can they scheme up a defense where probably in year one in this system, they're probably going to be out-talented, you know, most weeks. I don't think there's any argument there. So they got to figure out a way to maybe mask some things, maybe overcome their weaknesses. Like you said, find a way to get after opposing quarterbacks but not leave themselves exposed down the field to big plays. There's going to be a lot of, you know, I don't want to say tricks, but a lot of, you know, stuff they need to do, maybe even unconventionally, to figure out a way to stop other teams while they replenish that roster, while they get the talent level up to par with some of their opponents. Doing that via the transfer route is definitely a way to start. So I think a lot of those guys will definitely contribute this year.
All right, when we get back for the hour, we will get to the Braves closeout as the Braves take it on the chin here tonight. We'll get to all of that next. We'll open up the phone lines to you at 404-726-0929. Join us up next, Chuck Green, the Keys Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Rich Show, hanging out in the Keys Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, ACC Media Days taking place this week as they will be coming to an end coming up tomorrow. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy who covers Georgia Tech for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Chad Bishop. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Mr. Chad Bishop, and he joins me here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Chad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show tonight.
Well, hey, man, thanks for giving me that Master After a Puppets intro there at the beginning. That really is a great way to kick off that Wednesday night.
Well, listen, we get you amped up with the music in our bumpers, so we get you going. So, Chad, I want to talk to you before we get into some Georgia Tech talk. Let me talk a little bit about the ACC in just some of the teams that we'll be looking at. Look, I think it's very early or just – again, people are trying to kick dirt on the grave of Clemson right now because they didn't make the playoff for the last couple of years and they lost two of their last three games, even though they did win the ACC when all is said and done. But I think Shipley's one of the more underrated players in college football in America. I still think they're good at quarterback. You know, again, they may not be the Deshaun Watson, Taj Boyd type level of quarterback or, you know, again, Trevor Lawrence level of quarterback, but I still think they're pretty good. And their defense is always going to be outstanding. I think it's a little bit premature to be trying to throw dirt on the grave of Clemson that they're just not the organization or the, you know, program that they have been in years past.
Yeah, and I think the other part of that, right, is like you just know that they're just eating that up, you know, over the border in South Carolina, right? That's the bulletin board material. That's the rat poison that Nick Saban would talk about. I mean, Mr. Dabo Swinney is just, you know, whole off season is saying, look at this, you know, nobody respects us. Nobody's talking about us. I think you're right. I mean, they're still one of the cream of the crops college football programs in the Southeast and in the country. And everybody's really high, right, on Florida State. And, you know, everybody likes North Carolina with Drake May. But, yeah, I mean, Clemson's always going to be right there at the top. And it is funny that narrative that they lose a game or two and it's all of a sudden that Clemson is done and they're finished and they're not part of this discussion. But, I mean, it's still the elite talent. Like you mentioned, the elite defensive talent is still going to be there. And always just an incredibly tough place to play when you go up there at Clemson. So, yeah, you can't write them off yet. And I bet more than anything they're probably just salivating this offseason the fact that nobody is talking about them because it allows them to sort of feed that locker room mentality of the disrespect narrative and go out there and prove each and every week that they're still a major player in this ACC title race.
And, Chad, you mentioned Florida State. So I am one of the hosts for our college football show on Saturdays here. And I always try to latch on to a team that I think could be a playoff contender. And last year, unfortunately, it was NC State. Of course, injuries, you know, knocked them out. But, you know, it's been Oklahoma State and different programs like that over the years where I try to, you know, go besides just the kind of natural favorites. I'm buying all in on Florida State this year. I think Mike Norvell has a really good program there coming back with all the talent that he's got, whether it's Jared Verse, whether it's, you know, Sermon, and they're obviously, you know, again, they may have the best quarterback or at least one of the best quarterbacks in the conference. I love everything about Florida State. This feels like a little bit of some of the old school Florida State. I don't know if it'll all translate into wins, but it feels like that this is guys coming back, and this feels a little bit like old school Florida State for this program.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, definitely on paper, you know, when we talk, you know, here late July, early August, there's certainly a lot of buzz about that program, a lot of excitement, a lot of talent there. You know, they got a good coach and a good quarterback. And I really like their schedule. The fact that they open up with LSU, you know, win or lose, I mean, that's a great game for them, right? I mean, that's a game that, you know, play close and maybe you do lose it. But we all know that in college football, early losses definitely don't matter as much as late losses. And then you always play Florida at the end of the year. That's probably going to be a good win if you can knock that one off. So, you know, play Miami, Pittsburgh, not a lot of, you know, soft cupcakes on that schedule. Of course, there's a North Alabama on there, but, you know, play Clemson. So there's opportunities there to get some quality wins, impress some people, move up those rankings. So that's number one. And then, like you said, the talent in this, one of those, you know, stars aligned situations, right, where you've built things, you've got a lot of depth on that roster, you've got a coach who's done it. And so, yeah, you know, maybe this is the year. Now, when we talk about Clemson and that sort of disrespect narrative, you got to be a little bit wary if you're Florida State, right? Everybody's saying that you are going to be great and you are going to be in that discussion. So you sort of have to guard against that because you really haven't proven anything quite yet. So it's a matter of going out there and doing it week in and week out. First of all, taking care of business in the ACC and winning that conference title, and then maybe getting in that playoff discussion.
You know, Chad, this is a, you know, it may not be the best quarterback conference in America. I think that belongs to the Pac-12. But this is a really good quarterback conference this year. I mean, with Jordan Travis and, you know, again, Tyler Van Dyke and obviously Drake May. I mean, there are some really good quarterbacks that are in this conference this year. And obviously Tech's going to see plenty of those, you know, quarterbacks. But this is a sneaky good quarterback conference this season for the ACC.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. And I think it's been that way for a couple of years. And maybe, you know, I don't know why, you know, it's really flying under the radar in that regard. I mean, you know, Pitt has put out a really good quarterback or two. And obviously Wake Forest with what they've done. And we talked about Drake May at North Carolina. I mean, there's guys that have, you know, signed scholarships at ACC schools and have really risen up the ranks when it comes in terms of the NFL draft board or, you know, All-American teams or all-conference teams. You know, I agree with you. It's really tough. You know, Brent Key talked about it week in and week out. You're going to face a really elite, really good quarterback no matter what school you're playing. That's a challenge that, of course, you know, he said he loves and he relishes, but it's going to be incumbent upon Tech, right, to find a similar talent right to take over their football team, whether that's this year or next year moving forward, because all these other programs are signing these guys who are becoming world beaters and top 10 draft picks. And that's really where it starts, right? If this Tech program wants to get to that next level, they got to find that game-changing, program-changing quarterback.
So, Chad, you had the quote from Brent Key, where you put on your Twitter page, my expectations are not defined by wins and losses and production. Now, okay, I understand that from a coaching perspective, but can you sell the Georgia Tech fan base on that? Because, again, it's been multiple years of not so many wins and not in bowl games and things like that. I think folks are really kind of getting antsy for at least some signs of, you know, again, getting to or above 500. I do think that it's coming to the point in this program that we have to see some wins. We have to see some, can't just see growth. We have to actually see some tangible results now.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky, you know, phrase right there from Brent Key. And I think, you know, his take on all this, because he was asked so much about expectations and where he expects his team to be and technically what is year one for him, he's not going to go out there and say, I expect to win 8 games or 9 games. Now, don't get me wrong. He expects to win every game, and he wants his team to expect to win every game and to go into every game expecting to win. But I think more so for him, his expectations reside in the realm of he wants his team to play tough and play hard and play clean. And I know that sounds like cliche and coach speak, right? But I think from his point of view, if he gets his team to do that first and foremost, then the expectations will be raised. Then the win total expectations will be raised over time. As a first year coach, it's always tough because, you know, outwardly, you're never going to publicly say, well, I expect, you know, to win the conference championship, because then if your team loses 2 games and they're going to go to the shell and say, well, we're not going to win the conference championship now. So blah, blah, blah. Why do we keep trying? So I think it's tough, right, as that first-year head coach to put out a number or an expectation in concrete when, you know, you're probably not quite sure yourself on what kind of team you're going to have with some of the transfers, some of the underclassmen, and the recruit, the returners, and you're still trying to build this thing. So it's kind of a tricky narrative to sort of paint. You know, I understand where he's coming from in the sense that he just really expects a team to really form itself in the locker room first and foremost. And then those expectations in terms of win totals will come down the line this year and years in the future.
Chad Bishop, Georgia Tech beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Did you get a sense in hearing from Coach Key? I know he talked about, you know, toughness at the quarterback position and things like that, but did you get a sense about, you know, not so much that he came out and said, look, this is going to be our starting quarterback, but do you kind of think Haynes King really is the guy that's the leader in the clubhouse now? Is it his job to lose, or do you think that there really is a quarterback competition at Tech?
I think he wants there to be a quarterback competition. I think he may know, you know, in the back of his mind or maybe in his gut who's going to start that first game. But I don't think he's even going to tell that kid going into fall camp. I think he wants, you know, Zach Pyron and Haynes King to sort of battle it out over the fall and see who takes leadership of the locker room, leadership of the huddle, who can make plays, and then who can go out September 1st and make plays against Louisville. I think he wants a guy who is physically tough in terms of running the football. I think he wants a guy who's mentally tough in terms of maybe overcoming some adversity and bouncing back from an interception. A lot of those things won't play out in fall practice, right? They're going to play out in that first, you know, week against Louisville and a couple weeks later at Ole Miss. So, you know, I think there really is a quarterback competition. He probably knows deep down who he thinks will start that game, but I think he wants those guys to play it out and see who competes in preseason practice, see who can make those plays and rally the troops and, you know, all that college football cliche stuff, but he needs to see it. He needs to see who that guy is going to be. And I've covered college football a while, and just because, you know, one kid may start that opener does not mean that kid becomes the starter, mm-hmm. right, over the course of the season. So does it play out over the course of the year? I would imagine they hope not. I mean, Brent Key, I think he's a one quarterback guy. He would much rather have that guy come in. But I think he's gonna relish that competition this August and see who can rise to the cream of the crop and take over that offense.
So a couple of the transfers on defense, Braylon Oliver, Andre White from Texas A&M, you know, a couple of pretty good players that came in, you know, to this program. You know, they were a bad team against the run last year. Felt like a couple of years ago that they were really good at creating turnovers. Maybe not so much, you know, this past season, but what do you look at defensively from this team? Obviously, the run defense has got to improve, but can they get after quarterbacks is the other question that I have, obviously with no Keon White now.
No doubt. One of the prospect camps they had, I went out there and had a chance to talk to Andrew Thacker, defensive coordinator, a little bit. I talked to him about the transfers, and, you know, just like any coach right now in the country, you're not signing these transfers to be backups or just to be rentals. I mean, you want these guys to come in and perform. You sign them for a reason. So when you bring in these guys' experience at the FBS level, or even if they're, you know, high-quality players at the FCS level, you want them to come in and perform right away. And is it patchwork? Maybe a little bit in year one for Brent Key. But they're going to have to use these guys all over the field. And to me, it's going to come down to scheme. You know, can they scheme up a defense where probably in year one in this system, they're probably going to be out-talented, you know, most weeks. I don't think there's any argument there. So they got to figure out a way to maybe mask some things, maybe overcome their weaknesses. Like you said, find a way to get after opposing quarterbacks but not leave themselves exposed down the field to big plays. There's going to be a lot of, you know, I don't want to say tricks, but a lot of, you know, stuff they need to do, maybe even unconventionally, to figure out a way to stop other teams while they replenish that roster, while they get the talent level up to par with some of their opponents. Doing that via the transfer route is definitely a way to start. So I think a lot of those guys will definitely contribute this year.
All right, when we get up to the hour, we will get to the Braves closeout as the Braves take it on the chin here tonight. We'll get to all of that next. We'll open up the phone lines to you at 404-726-0929. Join us up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.